Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. The title of this one-hour broadcast is World Watchers. This is program 796, March the 9th, 1987. If you want a back broadcast, because I refer to them quite frequently, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, Mae, and then Brussel, P.O. Box 22511, Carmel, California, 93922. If you tape the broadcast off the air, which I hope you do, send a self-addressed stamped envelope once a month and request the bibliography sheets for the month of February or past January, no more than 4 or 8 to a single request at one time. I have to space this out, but write to me and I'll send you the bibliography sheets. Hopefully you'll put them in a three-hole notebook in chronological order so you can look back on the broadcast. I see that Mr. Kohler, the communications director, has resigned from his appointment. That lasted about 2 days. When he was appointed, the resume that went to the White House to Nancy Reagan and President Reagan did not mention his being a member of the Jungfolk, Hitler's youth. Charles Wick, the close friend of the Reagans, pushed this appointment through because he didn't get it. He will go on and work for Mr. Wick in another capacity with the U.S. Information Agency Service. He came from United Press International, Associated Press, rather, International. And we can talk more about him later, but he's out of a important position that would have put more heat on the White House at this time. There's an article in the San Francisco Chronicle this morning about William Casey, that he can't recover his speech and won't be testifying. But then another part of the article goes on to something very interesting. And again, this pertains to many, many broadcasts I've done in the past. It's titled Australian Connections to Oliver North Probe. Several military and intelligence officers who helped Marine Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North ship weapons to Iran and Central America were closely associated with the co-founder of the Australian financial concern that collapsed in 1980. Among those linked to the failing Sydney-based concern, the Nugan Hand Bank, and its co-founder, Michael Hand, was Richard Secord, General Secord, a retired Air Force Major General who helped North conduct airlifts of weapons to the Middle East and to Central America. And Richard Secord went on to Stanford Technology, and I want to do more about that this evening. The article says the Australian study, parts of which are still secret, was completed in 1983 by the Commonwealth New South Wales Joint Task Force on Drug Trafficking. This involved the same thing that the Christie suit. Institute is filing a suit against 28 or 29 defendants regarding assassinations, drug trafficking, political coups, intelligence community working with the higher persons in our government, like National Security Council, and even up to the White House. This Nugan Hand Bank involved assassinations, lots of murders, drug trafficking, very high top generals and admirals, and William Colby of the CIA, who ran the Phoenix program when Oliver North was part of the Phoenix program. The article goes on, the study is receiving a scrutiny again in Washington because of the details it contains about activities and movements of weapons around the world and many of the figures involved in the Iran-Contra affair. The Australian report concluded that several former CIA officials and contract operators, among them Theodore Shackley, Thomas Kleins, Rafael Quintero, were involved in military intelligence-related activities with Michael Hand and Richard and Mr. Nugent. They were involved in various activities related to top officers and the Nugent Hand Bank agents. The Tower Commission reported on the Iran-Contra affair, and other published reports linked all of these men to operations in the Middle East and Central America that were directed by North, the National Security Council aide dismissed in November by President Reagan. Secord and the other men in the network are the focus of investigation of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The Australian study, a congressional aide said, provides additional evidence that will help the committee determine whether the group simultaneously functioned over the years as official government intelligence agents while conducting legal and illegal operations for profits. The Australian study does not demonstrate that Richard Secord, Theodore Shackley, Thomas Kleins, or Quintero smuggled weapons or narcotics. That isn't what the Australian government was looking into. But it does say, however, that these men were very close to Nugent Hand, persons setting up the bank, to Mr. Hand, a former Army Green Beret and military intelligence officer who served in Laos during the late 1960s with the CIA-owned American the airline Air America. Mr. Hassanfass, who went down in Nicaragua, also was a pilot over there in Southeast Asia for Air America for quite a few years. Now we're going from the Nugent Hand Bank to the Wilson-Turpel connections to assassinations, gun-running, narcotics traffic that is coordinated by offices much, much higher than Mr. North and have to do with Henry Kissinger and Task Force 157 and Robert Gray, who runs the Public Relations Office, and Bobby Inman and a network of persons in the government and working outside the government for fringe payoffs who have been involved in effecting coups, overthrowing countries, just as Theodore Shackley was in charge of getting rid of Salvador Allende and putting Mr. Pinochet in power. They have worked with the teams that are the subjects of many, many books coming out that have been out for a long time, and the linkage of these people is at the very highest level, and the pieces, the little pieces of the puzzle, are surfacing every day. Now, in desperation to stop what they cannot have to get out, to put the lid on what they don't have to tell, the committee in the Congress that's investigating this matter filled in a position of a man very closely tied to Theodore Shackley. The Washington Post has a story. Thomas Polgar, the Central Intelligence Agency station chief in Saigon when it fell in 1975, has been appointed as a staff member of the Select Committee on Secret Military Assistance to Iran and Nicaraguan Opposition. The panel named 10 associate counsels to work under Chief Counsel Arthur L. Lyman. And I mentioned Lyman comes out of the law offices of Simon Rifkin that helped set up TCI that became Stanford Technology that these people worked for. In addition to Polgar, the committee this week appointed Federal Bureau of Investigation veteran David Faulkner to its investigative staff. Committee Vice Chairman Senator Warren B. Rudman of New Hampshire said yesterday that Mr. Polgar, 35 years with the CIA, will be the committee's resident intelligence expert, talking to witnesses, looking at intelligence data. Polgar's son is Senator Rudman's legislative director, making this very cozy. Rudman said that other members of the special panel include Chairman Senator Daniel Inouye. One of the people that rubs up, of course, the Washington Post says, that rubs up or into the 34-year career of Polgar with the CIA, who had served duty in Europe, Latin America, Southeast Asia, and Washington, is Theodore Shackley. And Shackley, again, ties into the murder of Salvador Allende, the overthrow of Chile, to the Laotian tribesmen, the narcotics traffic, to Stanford Technology. His fabric runs through the entire Cold War period. Theodore Shackley had the job of station chief in Saigon until 1972 when Polgar replaced him in Saigon, and then Shackley went on to Washington and headed the agency's East Asia division. In late 1980, Shackley then retired, worked as a consultant for the company owned by Albert Hakim that has been named by the Senate Intelligence Committee as one of those, according to the documents, that played a key role in the Iran initiative and in supplying the Contras. So now we have a man from the CIA who replaced Theodore Shackley in Southeast Asia who is going to take testimony from witnesses and can screen out those that he doesn't want to be heard, and who is a clearinghouse for material, just as G. Robert Blakey had teams similar to this with the House Select Committee on Assassinations to keep out the main parts of the assassinations of John Kennedy and Martin Luther King that they were supposed to be investigating. There's an article, The Guardian has an article, March the 4th, titled, Is There a Mole Loose in the Iran-Contra Probe? And this has the conflict of interest of Thomas Polgar heading a committee and a critic of the plans to use him as part of the investigation team is Ralph Magahy, the author of Deadly Deceits. It's the real title, Deadly Deceits, My 25 Years in the CIA. And he said, I've never seen such a blatant case before when you're investigating the executive branch misdeeds and illegalities. You appoint someone who will protect the agency. That is blatant. And it goes on to mention the relationship of Oliver North to these very people and having this man take over Theodore Shackley's job in Southeast Asia when those people that should be investigated are very key to what's happened through this whole fabric of politics since the end of World War II and the beginning of the Cold War starting in 1945. I've cited several times the conflict of interest of Frank Carlucci of the National Security Council and his role with Erich von Marburg, an associate of Thomas Kleins and Theodore Shackley, and Richard Secord again, and the National Security Council running its operation while protecting the very agents that they used for many of their activities throughout the year. So the close proximity of Frank Carlucci to this very team from the Nguyen Bank, and the appointment of the CIA station chief in Saigon with his link to that bank and the Nguyen Bank, pieces of this puzzle are going to come out now. Just the fact that Nguyen is being investigated by a different committee is very important. I don't want to pass over the fact that General Edward G. Lansdale died. He just died recently, February 24th, last week. He began his career again in Burma in Southeast Asia. He was active in the Philippines with Douglas MacArthur. He put down the very persons who were fighting the Japanese fascism at the time, the party called the Huks, H-U-K-S. It's a short for Huk Balahab, H-U-K-B-A-L-A-H-A-P. I may not pronounce that properly, but that's the way you spell it. These were a group of persons that founded an organization in March of 1942 to fight the Japanese forces in the Philippines. And when the war was over, they were treated like the war criminals. Their leaders were put in prison. U.S. Army Counterintelligence Corps took care of them, thanks to Colonel Edward Lansdale, who was living in the Philippines and stayed there and then went back to begin the kind of torture and activities and imprisonment of the resistance movement that was identical to the use of Klaus Barbie by the CIA when the war was over to put down the resistance movement of France in Europe and punish those who had opposed fascism. The San Francisco Chronicle and the Monterey Herald had some quotations about Ronald Reagan and some press conferences yesterday on Face the Nation. Well, he didn't have them, but his White House advisor, the former NATO ambassador, they referred to him as that. They preferred then to say the head of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, because so many of his people are involved in Contragate. David Absher said that the president was telling the truth, not knowing about connections of the Iranian money to the Contras, because he wouldn't forget that, and President Reagan always tells the truth. He said there is one Ronald Reagan. He's deeply honest, he's deeply dedicated, and he tells the truth. Well, all last week, if you watched television or if you read your newspapers, you saw the contradictions that the president had going back to 1986, saying that the story of arms to Iran had no foundation. Later, he said mistakes were made, but many of these charges were utterly false. Then he said he didn't understand the charges. He was deeply concerned because there were no trading for hostages, and he wouldn't think of putting up money to trade for hostages. Then he backed down a little more and said he wasn't fully informed of the nature of things going on, but the policy goals that he said were true were solid, and that there was no money for hostages and there was no trading. He absolutely didn't know of any money going to the Contras from the hostages, and he said he blamed the media, the bile in his throat, and the national rag over in Lebanon, the Beirut, that printed that story about him that was such a lie. And he didn't intend to do business with Khomeini. And there's a list of about 10 lies that were published in the newspapers this week. But the head of NATO, former head of NATO, says, of course, the president didn't lie. Well, there's one factor that he can't remember or lie, and it may have to do with the way he got started. What we're hearing about Reagan isn't very new. There's a book called California Incorporated, The Rise of Ronald Reagan. And I've had this on the air 2 years ago. I mentioned this book, but his behavior now indicates it's time to remind you of some of the background of Reagan, just in reference to then and now. The article says that friends of Ronald Reagan's got together in 1965. They were tied to Nixon and Goldwater and George Murphy, the corporate operatives since the end of World War II, and they were well connected with Pasadena attorney Robert Marty, and he's the one who was down the archives watching Gestapo pictures with G. Gordon Liddy, the head of LEAA, the assistant U.S. attorney, the guy caught in the Watergate scandals working for Richard Nixon. The article tells how Reagan's behavior was theatrical, but he had a political mentor, a long-time supporter in the person of Jack Warner. It was at the Warner Studios that Reagan was making his movies with Errol Flynn, two of them. And it goes on to Ed Mills, a strong right-wing supporter, a vice president of Tuttle's Ford Agency, worked with half a dozen California business people, and with Stanley Flog, P-L-O-G, president of the Van Nuys-based Behavior Science Corporation. The son of Mr. Tuttle is in the White House now, and his daughter-in-law both worked for Ronald Reagan at the present time. They said, "We raised a little money, and we sent him on his way, speaking around the state," Mr. Salvatore said. "The reception was great. We decided to run him for government. Reagan had little grasp of complex issues facing the state government. We knew then, as we know now, that Reagan didn't have any depth," Salvatore admitted. "But he sure was good on his feet. So Stanley Flog's Behavior Science Corporation was assigned the job and the important task of educating and shaping the new standard bearer. Through Flog, Reagan, for the first time, learned how to be brief. He was pumped full of quotable statistics, which became a Reagan trademark. An experienced political hand, Lynn Nofziger, formerly a reporter, a conservative for the San Diego-based Copley newspaper, was brought in to steer the new man, Ronald Reagan, through the rapids of the California Republican primary." Now, Lynn Nofziger is under investigation and is having a special prosecutor look into his hanky-panks, just as they're doing with Michael Deaver, who also was working with Ronald Reagan through this whole time period. Nofziger was recently put on the payroll of something like $20,000 a week with Fritz Channel, just as the stories came down of the connections of Channel to North, to the Contra money, to the Iranian money. Lynn Nofziger, the old-timer, was put on a large, huge salary, even though he's being questioned by the powers that be in the grand juries of his special interest in getting certain contracts and so forth. Lynn Nofziger was very close to Ronald Reagan's early career, and then he jumped over to the now current president of Western Gold and the money man for electing the conservatives and for sending out the money to the arms to Iran and the money to the Contras. Nofziger goes way back to Reagan, and that's why he's been brought in at this time to have this special relationship with Ronald Reagan. I will not go into Nancy's role in the White House or her saying, "My husband basically wants peace." I don't want to divert from the main material I want to get this evening, but I'll do more about Nancy and her constant control of the president. That isn't anything new. It started the day that she was introduced to Ronald Reagan, has literally had a control of him and his policies all along. Now, several weeks ago on World Watchers, I cited an article by Evans and Novak telling the powers that be by way of the Washington Post, the Houston Post, and their syndicated space that you don't have to worry whatever happens to the rearrangement of the White House or the National Security Council, because there is a very bright light, a rich infusion of blood, and so forth. And the article is really to cheer those up, those, I guess, far right wingers who were feeling low, cheer them up on the fact that things will remain the same in the White House. And they wrote, "The glimmer of the first silver lining in the cloud darkening President Reagan's presidency is discernible in the new staff at the National Security Council." And they go on to mention that the strong people that are brought in, far right-wingers like Jose Sorzano and Fritz Ehrmarth and so forth. But the article says, on top of the strength of the Soviets, the strength of the Soviet specialists, on top of that, hardliner arms control specialist Fritz Kramer unexpectedly is being retained. Kramer is being retained, which means he was there before, as I said before, at the National Security Council. And then going down to the second part of the article, reshaping the entire NSC staff in the administration, in the midst of administration, has never been tried before, particularly one that is now on its fifth National Security Advisor. Carlucci's original plan was to fire all staffers with at least 4 years in the Reagan White House. He quickly gave that up because it would have sacrificed some high talent, including strategist, arms specialist Kramer. Now, a friend who sent me this article from the Houston Post wrote to Washington, D.C., to the persons that published Roland Evans and Robert Novak's newsletter. It's titled Inside Report, Chicago Sun-Times, 175 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20006, February the 17th. And this friend wrote to them about Fritz Kramer. And they wrote back to her, "Dear," I'll leave the name off the air, "we aired the Kramer at the NSC is Sven Kramer and not his father, Fritz Kramer." Now, they all of a sudden did, like the history books of the Battle of the Bulge, remove Fritz Kramer from the contents of this article. Now, Sven Kramer is not the strategist. Sven Kramer is not the light at the end of the tunnel. He is not the silver lining in the cloud darkening the presidency that he's going to remove it. He is not the strategist, the arms specialist. He doesn't have that kind of power. Sven Kramer is a member of the National Security Council, but he is not the shining light, the person that's going to save the NSC and the reputation of Ronald Reagan. It would only take someone in such glowing adjectives to be Fritz Kramer, but when this person wrote them to get more information about Fritz Kramer, she got a moving aside and saying, "Oh no, we had it wrong. It's his son." There is no way that Evans and Novak believe that the son of Fritz Kramer has the kind of power that they were referring to. Now, the Tower Report is out. I don't know how many of you have seen it or read it. I ordered one because the bookstore that I get them from sold out the first day, and I'll have one this week. But there have been so many quotations and lists of important persons. And in one section, there's a list of cast of characters who emerged in this drama. George Cave of the CIA, Dwayne Claridge of the CIA, Robert Gates of the CIA, Claire George of the CIA. Then there's Mannlicher Gorbanifor, who was distrusted by the CIA but used all along. Max Gomez of the CIA with strong ties to George Bush. Eugene Hasenfuss, who flew that airplane with strong CIA ties and flew Air America down in Southeast Asia with that gang. Albert Hakim of Stanford Technology, Adnan Khashoggi, who was a long dealer with the intelligence community, linked both to narcotics and the CIA, and Lockheed is a conduit of handing out his funds. They linked Michael Ledeen, who has the connections to Seize Me, Henry Kissinger, and Kissinger in turn over the Nugenhand Bank Group. Ledeen with the P2, they mentioned him. And Richard Secord of Stanford Technology and John Singlaub of Western Goals. Now, those names, and they have Rafsanjani and three members of the Mossad. But these names from the Super Seize Me, the P2, from Stanford Technology and Singlaub represents also CAUSA, which is Reverend Moon, the World Anti-Communist League, Western Goals, and Soldier of Fortune. And what you have here with the list of these particular people as the information and news grinds down is a strong team that has nothing to do with who Oliver North knows or where he goes. Oliver North's contacts are just through an entire network that was set up by the powers that be way, way back, the Defense Department and the intelligence community, to make the president's policies, whichever they are that he wants, come about, if legal if possible, illegal when necessary. And these people all merge through the years, of course, in all of my research, and they have a role to play in this activity. But then separately, I've studied them in terms of their links with Nugenhand Bank, with the Italian fascists that go on down to Central and South America, the International Fascista, and the centering of all of this in a group in Palo Alto that is so important for Theodore Shackley and Mr. Hakim and Edwin Wilson and Thomas Kleins, known as Stanford Technology. Now, the Tower Commission has some reports. Many of you might have seen it. Charts reveal private Contra network. And this is very important because the areas that center in all of this are the Western Goals headquarters, which I did many, many months of broadcasting on through the last few years, the Swiss bank accounts attached to the Galen organization, Permanex, to the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and John Singlaub's relationship to domestic intelligence, to computers and police departments, to Soldier of Fortune magazine for recruiting the mercenaries, and the networks of these various activities, and now the Nugenhand Bank, all tie together, and these people are simply like a train or an airplane service that whoever in power gets on, there is no way that Robert McFarlane or Admiral Poindexter or Oliver North ever did anything alone. This network goes so far back, and it is so thick. Now, these charts show the funding and notes. One page, I'm just citing because there's many, and I'll go into them. One page have to do with Oliver North's notebook. He has a little group, if you have that diagram, the NEP, National Endowment for the Preservation of Liberty, NEPL. And then there's a little arrow across, ACT, American Conservative Trust. Those were two fronts, and they sent money down to IBC, which was International Business Communications, run by Richard Miller in Washington, D.C. And then IBC has an arrow going across to IC and ICS. Now, the first reports of this that came out, and there'll be more describing it, describe IC Incorporated and ICS are little known about them, but then they lead to Lake Resources, a corporation registered in Panama and with Swiss accounts. Now, Lake Resources is important. IC and ICS are so far put aside, and these dummy fronts will fit into all the other types of espionage activity I've discussed through the years. But the Lake Resources is the setup of accounts by Willard Zucker, the attorney for Robert Vesco, and the chief investigator for the special prosecutor. Mr. Lyman came out of the law offices, again, of Simon Rifkin, who set up TCI. TCI became Stanford Technology. And this Swiss group have connections down in Panama, Swiss banks, lots of them, and Panama banks in the Cayman Islands. And the fronts of these organizations have various names. The network that they have drawn, and there's a lot of little boxes, the IC was allegedly run by General Secord again and Albert Hakim of Stanford Technology. And Secord's alias in all this was COPP, C-O-P-P. As far as the Lake Resources, Willard Zucker is the banker there. He represents Robert Vesco as the investment counselor for Vesco. Mr. Lyman of the special prosecutor team that has brought in the CIA man that replaced Theodore Shackley in Southeast Asia in Saigon is the attorney for Robert Vesco. William Casey and Richard Allen have worked closely with Robert Vesco. Edward Bennett Williams, who Ronald Reagan wanted to head the CIA now, he turned it down. He's the attorney for Robert Vesco. Vesco is the bottom line for a lot of these people and for their fronts. And they also have listed several agencies. One is a collecting company listed in North Safe, and that has to do with two fronts, the Gulf Marketing Consultants and the Dolmy Business. These are what they refer to as collecting companies. And the these companies have a switch with money over to what are conduit companies, treasury companies. There's the Albon Company, Albon Values, the Hyde Park Square, the CSFR, and they're tied to, again, to Udall and Toyco, T-O-Y-C-O, and their links of Lake Resources to millions of dollars of military aid to the Contras, and CSF gave $17 million to the Contras. DFEX is another one of the corporations on this chart. And this has to do with the Portuguese firms, and this is very important because out of Portugal came the Russian weapons or the Polish weapons, and they were sent down to Honduras and to the Contras. And when Mr. Josefus was down, he had Soviet weapons on the plane. And the Portuguese firm is a organization that has to be checked out because of the close links of Frank Carlucci to overthrowing the government in Portugal, very effective putting his particular power or our United States opinions into power in Portugal. And also William Casey and Richard Allen were close to Portugal, the coup there and to the government. And also it is the location of International Fascista. I'll do more on the Portuguese connections. But out of Portugal, they get the Russian weapons, the Polish weapons. In Grenada, there was a warehouse full of Russian weapons stacked nicely that I thought were planted at the time. So say Mr. Hasenfuss was traveling with Russian weapons. These are used by agent provocateurs to say that those persons fighting the powers that be are using Russian weapons. And the Portugal link to the Eastern European weapons is very important for counterintelligence and so forth. IBC is one of the dummy fronts they used, International Business Communications, run by a Reagan campaign worker. And NEPL, the National Endowment for the Preservation of Liberty, could fund money into a corporation such as this to buy the airplane that was used for delivering weapons to Iran and also down to the Contras. I'll take a one-minute break and go back to the chart that you've probably seen in the newspaper about the connections of private aid, Contra aid network, and how money was distributed. But it is not a simple operation of distribution. It involves a lot of countries, disinformation on weapons, a lot of dummy fronts, but a network that was set up many, many years ago, long before there was an Oliver North, and has been used. All he had to do was to step in the network and use it. It was set up for the purposes that he was using it, to fund the Contras in case Congress said they couldn't have the military money. And the purposes have been the same throughout the years, to control another Central American country, in this case, Nicaragua. And when Somoza lost out on that country, every bit of our means of intelligence was put back together to get the people in power that were there before. So I'll continue on that chart in about one moment.